You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Friday, May 9th. The fate of the Freedom Timber Sale, a 138-acre stand just northeast of Nacelle, remains uncertain. 9 months ago, the Pacific County Superior Court rejected a conservation group's bid to halt the timber sale. The group, called the Legacy Forest Defense Coalition, argued that the Freedom stands were mature enough to warrant protection under the Washington Department of Natural Resources' own policies. Last August, the coalition appealed the county court decision to a state court of appeals and requested an emergency stay on timber sale operations. But the state court ruled that the coalition would have to make that request with the Pacific County Superior Court first. Then last month, Superior Court Judge Donald J. Richter ruled that the coalition was entitled to an emergency stay of sale operations, but only if it posted a bond of $240,000. It was the amount of money the Department of Natural Resources claimed it cost for litigation-related delays in logging operations and potential sale beneficiaries. The Legacy Forest Defense Coalition did not post that bond, but it has appealed the order for the bond itself with the state. For now, the Freedom sale still hangs in the balance. Since being elected last year, Washington Commissioner of Public Lands Dave Updegrove has made moves to clarify the definition of structural complexity when it comes to timber stands. He's also worked to expand the suite of forests it intends to leave standing for the sake of habitat conservation goals. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. In the upcoming May 20th election, Clatsop County voters will decide whether or not to renew a five-year levy that would support county fairgrounds operations. The fairgrounds operating levy has been in place since 2006, and it has been renewed by voters every 5 years since. If renewed again, property owners would continue paying a tax of 7 cents per $1,000 of assessed value for another 5 years. Clatsop County Fairground Manager Kyle Sharpstein says the tax plays a critical role in the long-term planning of the fairgrounds. Along with supporting staffing and operations, the revenues would be used for projects including kitchen and restroom upgrades, ongoing restoration of the exhibit hall roof, and upgrades to the wooden pedestrian bridge over Willusky Loop. Sharpstein says the fairgrounds have seen its share of challenges, including rising costs, aging infrastructure, and uncertainty over timber revenues. He also says the fairgrounds can play an important role in providing a space for temporary shelter and aid distribution in the aftermath of a disaster. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Drive into Yaquina Bay State Park in Newport, and in the middle of the road stands a beautiful Sitka spruce overlooking the ocean. For generations, people have gotten married next to it, taken graduation pictures underneath it, and otherwise just appreciated the beloved 150-year-old tree. But as Christian Fodenvenzel reports, it's now diseased, and the Parks Department is asking people what to do with it.
The tree's known as the muscle tree because of the way its beefy branches stick out, like a bodybuilder flexing his arms. Newport Gallery manager Ashley Berger says it's beautiful.
I think it's such an iconic part of the park. To drive around it is so special.
But Oregon State Parks arborist Catherine Carlton says recently it spouted a big red and yellow flat mushroom.
So this park ranger saw these fruiting bodies, notified me, and then we had a major storm event. Surprise, it's the Oregon coast. It was windy here, especially at this location, and that limb had failure because of a decay pocket caused by the disease.
A massive branch broke off, and if a car had been underneath, it could have been fatal. Carlton recognized the fungus as Dyer's polypore, so called because it can be crushed for use as a natural dye. It's also known as velvet top.
It's also commonly called a cow pie fungus because when it dies back, it turns a dark brown, almost black color that kind of looks like a cow patty.
Cow pie fungus, Dyer's polypore, or velvet top. The point is the mussel tree's dying from a fungus called Phaeolus schwinnitzii. It gets into the roots and spreads upwards, rotting the wood until the tree can no longer stand under its own weight. Carlton drilled some core samples to see how much healthy wood remains in the mussel tree and found just 12%, so something needs to be done. But because it's so beloved, the Parks Department didn't want to just cut it down. Instead, they set up a website asking for suggestions.
Creating a cool wood sculpture from the base of the tree, depending on how much decay is in there, that might not actually work. Another option is to chop it down completely. And then another option that we're working through is donate the logs to a local watershed association to provide habitat for fish.
Another suggestion is to create a big slice of the tree with markers indicating what was happening while each of the approximately 150 annual tree rings were growing. Landscape designer Eileen Stark came across the mussel tree while surfing the web and thinks the best option is to chop off the branches and create a snag, that is, a dead or dying tree that's still standing.
Small mammals, reptiles, amphibians like tree frogs, even some butterflies will roost under loose bark, as well as bats.
If you think of a big old log in the forest, the amount of wildlife and plants that can grow on them is astounding. Stark says the same is true of a snag.
Snags are, they're considered upright, still standing. If you put the log on the ground, then it's a log.
Stark says few people understand the value of a snag. They tend to either want to see a full, healthy tree or to cut a diseased tree down to make way for a new one. But she says snags are invaluable because soft, decaying wood can easily be dug out by a woodpecker or amphibian to make a home, and that home is up high, off the ground, where it's safer and drier. Snags happen naturally by disease, lightning, drought, and old age, but historically, humans haven't been that appreciative.
I think it's mostly an aesthetic thing. People think dead and dying trees don't look nice. They want to have a nice, vibrant one in place, but they are just absolutely, it's vital to wildlife. They're just essential and full of life, and their protection is crucial, and there's a real huge shortage of snags.
It's a hard decision.
Burke Martin is park manager at Yuquina Bay and one of the main people to decide about the mussel tree.
The intention was is not to just to make a bigger paved area. We're trying to figure out a way to make an area where people can remember the tree, that it was there, and leave it as a habitat tree to provide another resource for other animals and things to create homes in.
At about 150 years old, the mussel tree has watched over Newport since about the time it became a seaside resort and was officially named Newport. A decision on the future of the tree is expected next month. I'm Christian Foden-Wenzel reporting.
At a meeting last month, the Tillamook County Board of Commissioners discussed the future of the Pacific City State Airport. Officials from the Oregon Department of Aviation joined the meeting to explore bringing the county's development code for the area around the airport into line with state and federal safety laws. The Pacific City State Airport is a public access airport that can be used without special qualifications. It sees roughly 2,000 operations per year. Tillamook County Director of Community Development, Sarah Absher, said that discrepancies between the county's code and state and federal requirements for airport safety were putting the airport's funding status at risk. Anthony Beach from the Oregon Department of Aviation said that it would be a challenge to meet both the use needs of the airport and development interests of surrounding property owners, given the tight confines of Pacific City. Absher said she has talked with State Representative Cyrus Javity about the possibility of moving the airport, but that there had not been any nearby suitable sites. Tillamook County Commissioners ultimately agreed to prioritize updating the county's code to allow for increased housing before moving forward with plans for the airport. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is reminding the public to leave young wildlife alone. Removing an animal from the wild is illegal under Oregon wildlife laws. Officials say many wildlife species will leave their young while they forage for food. Oregon's deer and elk give birth from May through July, and it's common for mother animals to leave their young alone and hidden for extended periods of time. If removed from the wild, young animals miss the chance to learn where to hide, where to eat, and how to escape from predators and other dangers. So remember to keep pets and other domestic animals away from wildlife, and do not feed wildlife. Access to food provided by people can negatively impact their health and lead to conflict. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.